Before the throne, my sureties. Before the throne, my sureties. My name is written on his hands. He ever lives above for me to intercede. His all-redeeming love, his precious blood to plead, his blood atone for all our, his blood atone for all our, and sprinkles now the throne of grace. Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary, they pour effectual prayer, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransom sinner die. The Father hears him pray, his dear anointed one, he cannot turn away the presence of his Son. His Spirit answers to the blood, his Spirit answers to the blood, and tells me I am born of God. I now am reconciled, his pardoning voice I hear. He holds me for his child, I can no longer fear. With confidence I now draw nigh, with confidence I now draw nigh. And Father above Father cry.
Amen. As we come before the Lord's table, I hope that you can approach with confidence, because God no longer stands as judge, but as Father. Take your bulletins if you would. And our unison scripture reading is a selection of different passages. And so if you'll use your bulletin, we'll read this portion of Scripture together. It starts with that verse there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Let's read this portion of Scripture together. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing as we read his word. You may be seated. What is your confidence in? Is your confidence in your ability to please God, or is your confidence in Jesus Christ? Let's sing about that with number 416. My faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed, but in Jesus Christ. Number 416.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough. Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
All right, we're going to sing the third. We're singing about Jesus Christ healing us. And then as we come to the chorus, we're going to ask the instruments to drop out and only our voices. Now, that means we're a little bit down today. You're going to have to sing extra loud on the chorus. So on the chorus, it'll just be our voices. On the third,
my great physician heals the sick. The lost he came to save. For me his precious blood he shed. For me his life.
Sing it out.
I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me.
Amen. It's in that confidence that we are able to even worship the Lord, that our hope is found in Jesus Christ alone. Well, I'm going to ask the men if they prepare themselves, and we'll wait on you for worship through giving. And I pray that you will give with grateful hearts, knowing that God will bless the gift and the giver. So let's pray and ask him to do those things. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice as we have opportunity to worship you in song, as we have opportunity to worship you through the truth of your word. Lord, we pray that as we come to this part of our service, that it would be once again an opportunity for us to worship you through giving. Lord, we know that you have promised to bless those who give with grateful hearts. Lord, as we consider what you have given to us, it brings us to an understanding of your faithfulness, that you are our sufficiency. So, Lord, as we have opportunity to give, we give in that knowledge that we can never outgive you and that you will bless as we trust in you. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, and we will read from Romans 6. And while you're turning, I want to just put a quick plug in for this Saturday. There are registration forms in the back for the CEF training. That's for anybody who wants to learn more about how to give the gospel to children. And because Calvary is hosting it, it is free to anybody from Calvary. On the online section, it says it's $35, but because we're from Calvary, we're hosting it, it's free to you. If you'll just give $5 for lunch, they will cover the rest of that. So let me encourage you. There's a sign-up sheet on the back. You can register that morning when you come, but they prefer that you do it earlier online if possible. But let me just encourage you, if you teach here, or if you haven't taught a Sunday school class here because you're worried about being able to teach children, this would be a great time of training. And there'll be a bunch of classes going on. You can choose what classes you go to. And a number of students from Calvary will be going there as they prepare for a ministry that we're trying to start up at Palmetto Bays Academy, a good news club. So let me just encourage you to come out this Saturday and be a part of that CEF training here on campus. More information is on the back table, as well as calendars for the month of September. All right, our scripture reading this morning is from Romans chapter 6, and if you'll follow along, we'll read from verses 3 down to 18. And remember, when we use the word baptized in this passage, it's not talking about water baptism. It's talking about being identified with Jesus Christ, and that is what we're doing this morning through the Lord's Supper. And so think of the word identified when we talk about baptism in this passage. Starting in verse 3 of Romans chapter 6, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Praise God for the freedom he has given to us to please him through righteous works. We're going to continue to sing this morning, and we're going to use, let me get it here, we're going to use song number 183, Lamb of Glory. Song number 183, let's stand together and sing this as worship to the Lord.
Hear the story from God's word that kings and priests and prophets heard. There would be a sacrifice and blood would flow to pay sin's price. Precious Lamb of glory, love most wondrous story, heart of God's redemption of men, worship the Lamb of God. glory. On the cross, God loved the world while all the powers of hell were hurled. No one there could understand. The one they saw was Christ the Lamb, precious Lamb of glory, love's most wondrous story, heart of God's redemption of man. Worship the Lamb of glory.
Amen. Let's go to him in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we do desire to worship you. Lord, this morning as we consider your table, the sacrifice of your body for our sin, we are reminded that you were the spotless Lamb of God, the one without sin, the one without any offense. Lord, you were perfection and holiness, and yet you took on our sin. You allowed our wickedness, our motives, our breaking of your law to be put on your shoulders. You became sin for us, Lord, that we might become the righteousness of God in you. And Lord, I pray this morning that as we come to this table, we would see ourselves clothed in your righteousness alone, that our faith would be in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to identify ourselves once again with the gospel and how your death on the cross and your resurrection from the tomb has provided us newness of life. Lord, we think of those who cannot be with us this morning. We think especially of Paul Bushing. We thank you for sustaining him and protecting him. Lord, we thank you that he is able to be home from the hospital this morning. We would ask that as he continues this bout with pneumonia, that you would allow him quick recovery. Lord, we thank you for how he is taking steps of obedience toward you. And so we would ask, Lord, that you would bless him and return him to us quickly. Lord, we pray for Robert Taylor this morning in his struggles. And Lord, we just ask that you would touch his body. We know that you are the great physician. Lord, our desire is that you would not just heal his body, but that you would heal his soul and bring him to an understanding of who you are and his standing before you. Lord, that he would put his trust in you. Lord, we think of our missionaries and the two that are struggling with health. Lord, we just ask that you would sustain them. We thank you for their great testimonies during these times of struggle. We'd ask that you would strengthen them, that you would bring them help. Lord, men and women who would come alongside them and carry on the ministries that they have given their lives for. Lord, we pray this morning that as we stand before your word, that we would humble ourselves, that we would kneel in our hearts before you and allow your word to wash over us, to show us any area of life that is being harbored against you. And Lord, that we would take our hands off of our lives, that we'd seek to submit ourselves, our minds and our bodies to you in obedience. Lord, we thank you that as we consider these truths out of Romans 6, that they teach us that we have an opportunity through Christ's death to then yield our bodies as instruments of righteousness. Lord, though that is the desires of our heart, you know that our flesh is strong and seeks to go away from you. Lord, teach us the truth of your word. Teach us that every good thing comes from your hand. So, Lord, as we submit ourselves to you, we will find ourselves walking in obedience. Lord, you know that is the desire of this congregation. We pray that the desire would be realized through the strength that is in Jesus Christ and the truth of his word. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to dismiss children for junior church at this time, kids ages 4 through 4th grade. By the way, I trust that you are using your bulletin for information and prayer. And I just want to remind you to be praying for Andrea Leonard, who's the first in that list. And she is the daughter of Don and Rebecca Lopez. And they are away. They're out of town this week. But they're, in fact, they're up there at watching a grandchild for Andrea. Andrea has a very serious form of cancer, and she has been undergoing some treatments. She went for a second opinion and came back with the results. They concurred that she is on the right track for treatment, so she has heavy treatments coming. We are going to ask that you just continue to remember Andrea, if you would, and along with these other folks that are on our list. But it means a lot to Don and Rebecca. I heard from them yesterday with that word, and they thanked you so much for praying for their daughter. She has a two-year-old. That's why they're up there. They're taking care of the two-year-old. This morning, I want to just share some thoughts as we come to the table of the Lord. And I can't help but think that every time we turn a different direction in our lives, it would seem that Satan would try to minimize our devotion to the Lord, and to minimize our desire to actively pursue the Lord Jesus. And that's what it takes, doesn't it, to be living a victorious life in Jesus Christ. Because you know from your own personal experience, if you are a child of God, that Satan is relentless in bringing on things like laziness or troubles or things that would turn our eyes from the purposes of God in our lives and to serving Him wholly and to keeping Him there on the throne of our lives. And so today I want to turn my thoughts to this as we prepare our hearts for the communion. And I know that in your bulletin it shows the scriptures, Philippians 3, verse 10, and we are going to go there, but in the introduction of that, in this whole idea of daily pursuing Christ, and we do that purposely, don't we? We must do it purposely or we will not do it at all. Something about the Christian life. We need to make sure that we keep Christ at the forefront of our lives and purposely pursue Him and His holiness and His righteousness if we are going to live righteously and have any purpose in this world, any purpose to our living at all. So I'd like for you to go back to the whole idea of pursuing Christ. Go back to Luke 9:23, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and verses 23 is what I want to settle in, but the verse above it, if you remember, as we look at the context, the disciples were together, and Jesus had asked the question, "Who am I? Who am I?" And you know there were several answers given. And then Peter gives that answer, "You're the Christ of God, you're Messiah." And it is there that Jesus responds with his disciples and begins to truly lay before them that charge of following him. In verse 22, it says, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." So we see the word suffer in that word, in that verse. And also, it turns our thoughts to what Jesus was going through and what he was to go through as he walked the Calvary Road. And then he turns to them and says, "If any man will come after me." Now, this is after he had laid that foundation. They knew what was ahead for Jesus. And then he turns to them, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." And so we had these rather stunning words that Jesus gives to this group of men who had become very close to him. And it was time to challenge them to make a declaration, so to speak, in their lives. And it is one, I believe, of stating belief. And belief takes action. And the words that Jesus gives them is an actual call to come and to pursue his very life, to pursue him. And that would never end for these disciples. And then we have the Apostle Paul, and you saw as we read in the unison scripture, and then again as Pastor Mark read from Romans 3, that portion of scripture having to do so much of being immersed in Christ. This whole idea of Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in me. And so we are to pursue. And I believe that's why in some cases here that you've come today, you know that God has commanded that we remember Jesus. And we do so through this very symbolic gathering together as we take these emblems of Christ's body and the emblem of his blood. And we come and we remember that these are just pictures of Christ. But the reality of it is that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And we hear the words of Jesus as he turns to his disciples after he has even talked about the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. That's part of the suffering, rejected by the elders, rejected by the chief priests, the scribes, and then ultimately be slain and be raised the third day. Jesus is calling his followers to suffering as Jesus suffered. He's calling them to be rejected. He's calling upon them to be rejected by not only the people who are in the know, and ultimately to be slain or to surrender ourselves to that very purpose, to lay down our lives for Jesus Christ. What does that have to do with the things we do in our lives every day? I have to turn to my own life and I have to say, Lord, I look at this and I see Jesus calling those men who said they loved him and they wanted to learn from him. They sat at his feet and listened as he shared the word of God and the truth of God. And yet he is calling upon them to follow as he goes. And we see his suffering and ultimate death, and then we see his resurrection. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Now, just as an introduction to our thoughts in that scripture in Philippians, I say we go back to Jesus, we see his charge to the people and his invitation to follow, and it's not even an invitation, I believe it's a command. And sometimes we need to get our heads screwed on right as Christians, because we get our thinking going in this direction and that direction, and we get so caught up in the activities of our lives that we forget that we have entered into the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we'll turn to Philippians in just a minute. But look at this very brief outline of verse 23, and you may just want to underscore it in your Bibles if you haven't already. So easy. The first is, Jesus says, deny yourself. Through discipline, through self-control, or we should say the spirit control. Is the Spirit guiding you? Is the Spirit of the Lord taking the Word of God and making it come alive in your life so that you know how you should place your feet one in front of the other and where you should be and where you shouldn't be? And what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. Pursuing Christ as your purposed focus in living. What a wonderful way to come to the table with an attitude that I am purposely focusing in my living Jesus Christ. I want to follow him, and that means I deny myself. That's the biggest thing in life to most of us, self. And yet God calls upon us to deny self and to follow Jesus. That's to do the bidding of another, Not just simply the bidding that comes just through the natural flesh and mind of mankind. The second thing he says, not only deny yourself, but he says take up your cross daily. That means die to self daily. That means surrender to the Lord Jesus and leave myself in the dust. Die to self daily. That has that word that we see in chapter 3 of Romans, that word that says reckon, or in some translation is consider. Reckon yourself dead. Consider yourself dead to sin, to self. And we must nurture the mind of Christ, that mind of humbling myself to the very point of death if needed. Then follow Christ to do his will moment by moment. So we deny self, we take up our cross. You know, it's our cross, it's not his cross. And in Bible times, that cross was an instrument of death. It wasn't a piece of jewelry. It was an instrument of death. If you picked up a cross, it meant you're gonna die on it. So take up your cross daily. Daily. Reckon yourself to be dead to self and alive in Christ, moment by moment. Then the third one, just the very last, very briefly, says, follow me. We are to follow Jesus Christ, and I believe he's talking about placing him on the very throne of our lives. That makes him Lord of all. Follow me. Jesus says, put the Lord Jesus Christ first and on the throne of your life. Now, would you go over to Philippians chapter 3? The title of the message, Seeking to Know Christ and the Power of His Resurrection. Verse 10 of chapter 3. I want you to understand that as we come here, I believe that the mind of Christ is in the mind of the apostle as he writes. Remember, it's God-breathed. He's writing under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. God is breathing into the very thought processes and the words of this man. And he gives us this beautiful example of pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. If you would, I'd like you to go back to verse 7, and we'll come up to verse 10. But verse 10 is the key verse. But verse 7, but what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Now, I want you to understand the Apostle Paul. He's talking about what's gained for my flesh, I count loss. All these wonderful things because I'm so talented and I'm such a handsome man and I'm so well educated and I just have the ability to turn things into gold. No, Paul is saying, those things that were gained to me, those I count loss. I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The treasure, remember, the treasures of knowledge, wisdom in Christ Jesus. For whom I have suffered, there the word is again, suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, again, stripping himself of all that ability and all that talent and all that intellect. He strips it all off, and he says, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which is death, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So he's plugging us in, salvation, right there. And then verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Wow. You might say, well, what's so positive in this? It's the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God in you as you deny self, as you are willing to take that place of Jesus and suffer even as he suffered in his living and in his dying. And I believe that is what triggers the very power of God in your life, in your living, for the glory of God. Philippians 3:10. And I believe it's as we look at this verse that we can experience victory in Christ as his own, as our own in Christ, that I may know him. That I may know him. That's the first thing we see in the verse, that I may know him. The Apostle Paul knows him, but that know is such an intimate thing. It's a growing thing. It's a growing relationship. The sad thing is so many baby Christians are just willing to just suck on the milk of the word and not get into the meat and somehow stay immature. But here we are to know. We are to know. We're to understand and to grow in that knowledge of Christ. That I may know him. And I believe there's a note of desperation in that. Are you desperate about knowing Christ? Are you tired of your failing? Are you tired of ending up on your face? Are you tired of yielding to temptation time after time? Oh, yes. God forgives me. But what does that do to my psyche when I know that I repeatedly fail and my gracious God continues to love me and to minister to me even though? I want to know him. I'm desperate to know him and be able to stand day after day after day. Am I purposely seeking? A good synonym would be pursuing. And I use the word pursuing here often. But that idea is to be seeking. Seeking after the knowledge of God. Seeking my Lord. Oh, I'm hungry for him. And I want to develop that hunger into that knowledge, that understanding of God. To know Christ intimately and to know his power over this world and over death. Walking each day purposely growing up in my Savior, into his likeness. That's a great purpose of Scripture, isn't it? As we study the Word of God, that we become more and more like the very subject of our Scripture. That we become like Jesus Christ in his thinking. Thinking his thoughts. How do I practically do that? Through the Word of God. If I'm going to seek after the Lord and seek his fullness in my life and understand him and walk intimately with him, I need to learn to know him. How do I get to know him? It's only through the Word of God. It's through the Spirit of God taking that word and working it down through my mind into my heart, which becomes actions and resolve. But I will never know him intimately if I put the Word of God aside. This is the living word, the written word of God. And you can't separate it from Jesus, the living word. And so, that I may know him, to know him and walk each day purposely growing up into the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding him. And as our theme verse in school this year, digging out the very treasures of his word. The word says, the word of God promises, if you seek me, you shall find me. Isn't that beautiful? the elect of God being found out by Christ himself and drawn to himself by his grace alone. That I may know him. What's the next phrase there? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Am I purposely, daily, moment by moment, pursuing the power of Christ's resurrection in my life? That power of resurrection. We are armed with the knowledge of the resurrection to life everlasting. As Jesus, the first fruits, was raised incorruptible, we too shall be raised incorruptible. The power of Christ's resurrection. And when facing this world's philosophies and the trials that are mounted against us so often and the temptations that are sure to take place in our hearts and our minds and the sin that finds such easy access to our lives and death. Do I know that I can learn to call upon Christ's power? Do I know that? Somebody called me yesterday and there was an illness, sudden illness, and we called on the power of God. God met us. We as Christians must live our lives in the very shadow of Christ himself. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do I know that he will help me? Well, the scriptures tell me. The scriptures tell me. And I'm purposely pursuing to know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. You know, I look at Christ's sufferings and Jesus isn't saying to his disciples, you have to suffer exactly as I've suffered. He wants us to enter into his sufferings. In other words, we must be willing to say, Lord, here I am yours, I'm following Jesus Christ, and if it means suffering for me, I enter in as Christ did to his sufferings. It doesn't mean my sufferings will be identical, but it means when I do find myself suffering for the gospel's sake that I recognize that I am standing with Jesus Christ. Christ is standing in me, and I have entered in to the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. Am I willing to suffer as Jesus did? For the same reasons he did. You know why Jesus suffered? Because he sought to bring God's salvation, his love, and his righteousness to a sinful world. Am I willing to stand and suffer for that reason, for these purposes? If I am, then I have entered into Christ's sufferings. It's not some mystery. The mystery comes in the fact that God, in his grace and his love and his kindness to me, a sinner, allows me to come so close and know intimately my wonderful Savior and to walk in the fellowship of his sufferings. Then look at the last one there. That I may know him, the power of resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Being made conformable. Am I willing to be conformed to his death? Am I purposely pursuing death to self? That's an everyday thing. Death to self, I believe, is more difficult than death in the physical body. And yet I must be pursuing that kind of death to self. And living out that transformation of this sinful nature by being conformed to my Savior, to my Savior's death. Transformed by Christ's life. Am I conformed to his death? Deny self. Learn to reject sinful desires. All of us know, and perhaps there are sins that hold on to you so desperately and that always seem to reoccur. And God is saying, you subject yourself to me. Jesus says, you come, take up your cross. That means die daily to self. And in so doing, you will learn through the Word of God, through the power of God's Spirit in you, to reject those sinful desires. You know, Paul's principle in so much of his writing is simply put off the old, put on the new. Put off yourself, put on Jesus Christ. Put off and put on Christ. Obey God's word. The wonderful and holy commandments that we are given and we study and gain knowledge and wisdom. And wisdom applied to truth, or applies that truth in our lives. Are you applying the truth of God's word, enabling us to live righteously, enabling us to do what's right in God's eyes and through his word, to live righteously and godly in this world right now, not only here as you sit here, but as you're sitting in your home or sitting in your office or sitting out in the neighborhood or sitting in your place of employment. Wisdom, true wisdom that we gain from God, applies that truth, or it could be called the application of that truth. There's one thing about having knowledge, but it's when we have wisdom from God that we're able to apply that knowledge. Are you pursuing him? I want to just close before we go to the communion table and go to 1 John chapter 3. And I want to go to the 24th verse and just use part of that, actually. It says this, and he that keepeth his commandments. Whose commandments? God's commandments. The word of God dwelleth in him. That should be a capital H. Dwelleth in him, and he in him. Praise God. Will you allow that challenge to be your challenge, just like it was to the disciples there early on in Luke's gospel when Jesus himself called them? He's calling us right now. Would you respond to that call as we come to this table and remember Jesus?